The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
After 6 years of work, the Mother and Baby Homes Commission of Investigation has produced its final report. It's not far short of 3,000 pages in length, and it details the experiences of women and children who lived in 14 mother and baby homes and 4 so-called county homes between 1922 and 1998, as recently as 1998. It has confirmed that almost 9,000 children died in the homes under investigation, about 15% of all of the children who were in the institutions. There were about 56,000 unmarried mothers and about 57,000 children in the 18 institutions investigated. And the report recommends, amongst other things, a state apology, which will be delivered by Taoiseach Micheál Martin in the Dáil tomorrow, redress and access to birth information also to be given to survivors of the mother and baby homes. We will talk to two of the people directly affected by that in a moment, but I would like to start with Dr. Sarah Ann Buckley, lecturer in history at NUI Galway and co-principal investigator for the Tuam Home Oral History Project at NUI Galway. Sarah Ann, thank you very much for joining us. Can you just explain the significance and importance of today's report, please?
Hi, Matt. Thanks very much for having me on. Yes, today is very much the culmination of, as you say, 6 years of data collection by the Commission, but many more years of survivors, of their advocates and activists working towards this day. And I'm not sure how my thoughts are actually with survivors today. I've obviously only had the report since 3 o'clock. The executive summary, I think... it's quite interesting the language that's being used. Very much blame seems to be being placed quite firmly with families. It's also quite interesting, as you say, 9,000 deaths, but we do need to acknowledge that it's only 18 institutions. There were only 4 county homes looked at. There were many more. There are also other types of institutions, as I'm sure your speakers will address. But for me, it is a day that it's the beginning, really, of how we look at this report. But I think survivors' reactions to this are so critical, because at present, I'm not sure that they could take much solace with what they've seen so far.
And it is going to take an enormous amount of time to go through this lengthy document. And my understanding as well is that there is some harrowing personal testimony as well in there of people's experiences of loss of loved ones, of forced adoptions, of loss of contact, mm-hmm. of exceptionally bad treatment as well by the nuns and others who ran these institutions, shaming individuals for the circumstances in which they found themselves. It's a litany of horrors. But I'm really interested that you say that there seems to be a sort of a focus on families and their responsibility for forcing women into these institutions. Does it not go further and also in putting the blame on the institutions themselves, the Catholic Church, the culture of the time, and how governments not merely turned a blind eye to this, but sort of encouraged this?
Yes, definitely. It was more just a reference to one line that jumped out at me in the executive summary about responsibility. It demonstrates that there was the Registration of Maternity Homes Act was in place, yet there were no cases taken under that. It shows that there was a culture that was very influenced by different religious orders, by beliefs, also by the state. Now, we've had the report for less than 2 hours, so as a historian, I can see the amount of research that is there, the amount of records that have been looked at, and I'm very interested in going through that piece by piece. But the overall, I guess, culpability is of interest, I think, and as I say, we must listen to the survivors today on that.
And I want to turn to those survivors. Sarah Ann, stay with us though, please. Mary Ryan O'Brien is founder of ANTHUS, which campaigns to give Irish adoptees access to their own birth information. How do you feel today on the publication of this report?
Mixed feelings, to be quite honest. Relieved that it has been published and that we have the information, but very disappointed in the report itself. And I'd echo Sarah-Ann's summation there regarding the limited remit of the Commission to begin with. Like many things in this country, we could have done it right. We could have got it right the first time, and we didn't. The report is limited because the Commission was limited, the remit was limited, the input was limited. The apology that I assume that we will have tomorrow will also be similarly limited. I'd also like to highlight the fact that, as Sarah-Ann said, there were 18 institutions that were taken into the remit of the Commission, and it was residents of these institutions that were allowed to make give testimony to the Commission. There are a number of institutions, homes, that weren't. So we need to also focus on how we can bring people who weren't involved in this process on board and allow them to give their input and testimony also. It didn't come as a surprise to us, to be quite honest, because there was a similar commission of inquiry, a public one in Australia a number of years ago, I think it was around about 2015, 2016, and from there follows legislation regarding access to information and so on. But the findings of that commission also spoke to the profound impact that it had on birth mothers, in particular how they developed post-traumatic stress disorder, it affected their ability to parent subsequent children, and so on and so forth. This is no surprise, but what is surprising to me personally reading through it is the criticism. It isn't really particularly directed. It's very much along the lines of, oh, well, we all parties. As well as which I think that I take exception to, in particular, one section where it outlines the vitriol at which there were comments made regarding TUFLA, and then goes on to say, well, it's not really TUFLA's fault, it's because there's no legislation. I think when people are coming and they're legitimately raising issues with vitriol regarding a particular agency, then that has to be taken on board. And I sense reading through it, although I have just skimmed through it, an overriding sense of, I find it slightly patronising, and I find it very paternalistic in the focus it gives to some of the recommendations.
Yeah, the recommendations. Are there things in the recommendations that will, as far as you're concerned, do some good?
Well, obviously the restorative justice element is of interest to us because that was one of our primary focuses on allowing adoptees some restorative elements of, like, with regard to their own identity and their own access to information. So obviously that's welcome. But it was only ever like a marginalised group within an already marginalised cohort, if you know what I mean. Because it was so limited, you know, there are a lot more views and a lot more input to be taken on board. And I'm just really, you know, trying to find how we're going to do that within the structures that are outlined. How are we going to move forward? And, you know, there seems to be the sense that we're drawing a line underneath it and moving on, you know, that we've addressed it and we've, you know, invested in it and we've inquired into it and there you go. And that's the result of it. And now we're moving on. Well, that should never be the case. This is just, it isn't the sense that we came to the end of the road. We're just on a more illuminated part of the road. There's still a fair bit of it ahead of us yet to be dealt with.
Okay, stay there, please, Marie. We have Paul Redmond with us again on the programme. He's been a guest a number of times from the Coalition of Mother and Baby Homes Survivors. He himself was in Castle Pollard. Paul, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. And how are you today after this report?
Like a lot of the other people, I have mixed feelings about today. In one sense, there's a huge sense of relief that it's all finally coming to an end after 10 years of campaigning and more for other people. But there's also a great deal of frustration, disappointment that, as other people again have said, this report is very much incomplete. The rogue adoption agencies, which were steeped in criminality, were completely excluded from the terms of reference. The issue of illegally adopted people were completely excluded. So they've all been thrown under a bus by this government, which is disgraceful. And we're certainly
just explain that to me, please, what you mean by that for those people who are not familiar with that issue.
Right. Well, apart from the mother and baby homes, this report basically is an investigation into various institutions. But outside of those institutions, there were tens of thousands of people born to single mothers in other places, including the county homes and public maternity hospitals. And a lot of them went through religiously run adoption agencies, and a lot of those agencies were simply steeped in criminality. They were almost legalized baby traffickers. A number of the thousands of adoptions were illegal. There's no question about that. St. Patrick's Guild in particular have been long named and shamed in the Dáil and in the courts as one of the worst of them. Yet they don't come into this inquiry at all, which is absolutely disgraceful. So we're going to be continuing campaigning for illegally adopted people and for their rights.
Is there anything, Paul, that you've seen looking at the recommendations that you think might actually help provide sufficient redress, will help help the survivors and make sure that things like this could never happen again?
Well, I think we certainly live in a time now where something like this could never happen again. Though having said that, I mean, in 20 years' time, we could be looking back at direct provision for asylum seekers in this country and go, how could we do that when the whole of society knew about it? But hopefully something like this could never happen again. There could be such blatant official discrimination against single mothers where pregnancy was a crime in this country, essentially. Although not actually illegal, it was treated as a crime, which is hard to believe in this day and age, but that is the way things were. And the children born out of wedlock, as the report says, up to 1987, we were legally described as illegitimate. And you could be discriminated against in all sorts of ways for being illegitimate. For example, illegitimate people were not allowed to join the Garda Síochána until 1971 in this country.
Just one of a whole litany of shocking things from our history. And Dr. Sarah Ann Buckley, I suppose a lot of people would still be shocked to discover that some of these institutions were open as late as 1998. What would you expect from the Taoiseach's formal apology tomorrow? Because we've had apologies in relation to the Magdalen laundries and various other commission reports in the past. Have those apologies actually delivered to the people at whom they're aimed?
I think, as Marie and Paul have made points, that, you know, because this is slightly limited, the apology will be for the 18 institutions. I think of the recommendations, what is important is there seems to be a focus on, as the collaborative forum had recommended, that this be taught in schools, in universities, that it be integrated into our history. But I think it is a starting point in many ways. We all need to delve into this report. We need to look at the sources, the methodology, and I'm not exactly sure what the Taoiseach can say tomorrow so soon, but I hope that survivors will feel that they have gained something from it.
Okay, Dr. Sarah Ann Buckley from NUI Galway, Marie Ryan O'Brien and Paul Redmond, thank you all very much for taking the time to join us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.